Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Ben Ufana. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a 5-stars review on iTunes or Spotify. Ben, coming from your family, you know, at an early age, you were really drawn to the indigenous culture. Was there a catalyst that pushed you in that direction?
Like so many of us who grew up in that time, our parents used the television set as a babysitter. And when they'd have the cowboy and Indian movies on and the native people were being killed, I would be throwing fits. I'd be screaming. And conversely, when the natives were getting the upper hand, when they were taking out the cavalry, I would be like, yeah, get them. And someone had also given me a book. And I had all these photographs. I think they started taking photographs of Native people, maybe the late 1850s somewhere. For those couple of decades when they were still very much in their traditional culture. And I would turn through those pages hundreds of times, maybe 1,000 or more. And I was just so drawn to it. And when some of the Native people, as they were, had come down to Texas and they were for jobs, for work, and I would get to know them. And by 17, I made my way to Oklahoma. I'd taken off on my own while still in high school. And I started going into the ceremonies with the Native elders. And it was during one of the peyote meetings that I met my mentor, Horace Dolka, who was one of the last surviving traditional doctors among the Kiowa tribe. So that's how that all got started.
By age 12, you were reading all of these different things related to the tribal cultures and then learning traditional medical and psychological and spiritual practices by 14. When your mentor Horace mentioned to you that he recognized your capacity to become a healer, what was he talking about?
I think what happened was I was talking with a friend of mine who's about my age. I was like 17 or 18. Now, by that time, actually, I was a little older, 19. And I was in one bedroom talking with my friend, and across the opposite side of the hall, Horace was standing in another bedroom talking with my friend's adoptive father, and he just stopped and stared at me. And over all these years, I have never encountered anyone who was so psychic. He never built himself as one, but there were times when I'd be riding across country with Horace, and we'd be on these like long 12 or more hour drives, and he would be describing events that had occurred at different times in my life. It's as if he was watching a movie. You couldn't hide anything from him. Remember one instance, I got into an argument with him, and he rebutted any argument I had before I could get the words out of my mouth. I watched him do that with his wife at one point. She was blowing a gasket. But he, being so tuned in, so perceptive, he just recognized that I had a certain capacity. These traditional doctors, they know when they found that person that they're supposed to pass their healing gifts on to. And they traditionally, they take on one or maybe a few apprentices towards the end of their life.
Does everyone have the capacity, or is it just certain subset of people, or how does that work?
There are just certain individuals who have this aptitude. I think some people would have you believe that you can just go through a few weekend workshops and become some supposed master healer, but among the Native American tribes and other indigenous peoples, there's a combination. You have to be incredibly strong, resilient. I mean, the training that I go through, for instance, involves fasting alone in the mountains for 4 days and nights with no food and no water. And during that time, there are portions of it that are like a near-death experience. And there's this extraordinarily powerful presence that descends into my body. And I've relived past traumatic events, sometimes events which I had no prior recollection. And yet, all the memories, all the vivid sensory impressions, all the emotions, it's all coming back. And I find that I'm processing, digesting it, it's being assimilated. And then there are these other forces or beings that come to you. And that's what the Native doctors all worked with. They were referred to as conduits. They had these other forces or beings that, as they worked through them, and they possessed very specific kinds of gifts of healing. Some were primarily working with individuals with neurological disorders, others digestive or respiratory. And so they were highly specialized according to the type of healing gifts or powers that they possessed. My range is broader just because I've gone so many times, and because there are so few people practicing at this level at this time in history. So many people come to me, or have over the years, with such a wide range of health-related issues, trauma, other emotional wounding, struggling with patterns of abandonment, unrequited love in the midst of a breakup or divorce, totally devastated. And so because of it, and having gone through the Vision Quest dozens of times, my range is much greater of what I can work with. But back to your original question, I think it's only a very extraordinarily small percentage of individuals possess this kind of aptitude.
And there are tribal dances and spiritual and healing ceremonies. What is that about? Is it something that brings you higher into whatever ceremony you're participating in?
For a number of reasons, much of the traditional dances, ceremonies have been lost. And much of that has to do with the fact that there's not much of a Native population left comparatively. We did have the fact that the United States systematically sent its armies in and would attack groups of Native people, taking on a certain number of tribes at a time, but also the fact that Native Americans did not have immunity to the infectious diseases that were so common in Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, because these other groups of people in the other parts of the world, having domesticated animals, sheep, pigs, horses, cattle, had over time, the, you know, being that many of the infectious diseases are zoonotic in origin, where they jump the species barrier from animal to human. And so people in the other continents had developed a greater immunity. Native people only had the dog in North America and the llama in the alpaca in South America. And so therefore did not possess the immunity. And so such a large percentage of the native people died out. Some tribes numbering 25, 30,000 or more people, maybe there might be 10,000 or maybe 100 or fewer survivors of that tribe. And then the children of these people who did survive were taken, put in boarding schools. They were, many instances, shamed for their indigenous culture, punished for speaking their own native languages. Some were physically and sexually abused, and so they were deeply traumatized. And there was so much pressure to assimilate. And so much of the traditional culture was lost. And many of the tribes, as I said, losing their language, losing the traditional practices, only a few of them have maintained, you know, a smaller percentage have maintained a lot of the traditional practices. Some tribes still practice the Sundance. The Sundance, too, you're fasting the 4 days and nights without food and water. But it's more of a communal event. One does tap into extraordinary power, or the group of individuals participating taps into this extraordinarily powerful presence. But it's more for the collective good of the people, for the people as a whole. Whereas on the Vision Quest, it's more of an individual experience. You, the healer, or these traditional doctors who have gone for centuries, you receive the benefit yourself of having gone through this extraordinarily powerful experience. And yet when you receive these gifts of healing, it's also to benefit those individuals, for the assistance of those individuals with whom you work.
Yeah, hearing about the atrocities, I know only scratched the surface of what has really been done. We don't really hear much about it in mainstream. You've been working amongst and learning from for years, quite a few years now, decades. So what continues to drive you to give of yourself and wanting to bring a profound level of healing in society?
There's always a part of me that wants the best for people. And the fact that I've done all this intensive discipline and practice over the years has greatly heightened my sensitivity. And so I have this ability where I can sense deeply, see and feel into people's bodies and minds. As I do so, I see the emotional wounding, the trauma that they carry. I see how people's bodies age prematurely, the stagnation, the toxicity from both the fact that people internalize so much stress, all the emotions that they don't process. It doesn't just go away. It's, you walk into a room and someone's angry and upset or afraid, and without them saying a word, if you're sensitive, you feel it. Sometimes it emanates off of them. It radiates from them. And the garbage diets, the garbage people eat. And that has such a deadening, disconnecting effect, the fact that people numb, avoid, or suppress their emotions, not knowing what else to do with them. And so it creates this profound disconnect. And so as I look into people's bodies and minds, I see and feel the parts of them that, say, have shut down, that have disconnected, that have, in one way or another, failed to develop. And the illnesses that are manifesting in their body, how they're not coming anywhere close to realizing their true potential. And so because of that, there's this deep, profound desire on my part that I want to see each individual I work with become truly actualized, to realize their potential, to embody their best self, and to bring whatever gifts they have to the world. And to me, this is fulfilling. And it's also just very difficult for me to see how people suffer. And when people are carrying this emotional wounding and their bodies are breaking down, and it's, again, difficult for me to see. I want to do everything I can to see people as alive and vital. And realizing their full potential.
And when you were a kid, you experienced some traumas that affected your life early on. What was that transition like? I mean, dealing with the trauma and then processing, being able to process your way through it and dealing with those feelings and emotions that were not serving you, but only hindering and pulling you down.
There was a lot of numbing and disconnect that I experienced. I was in many ways dissociated from my body. And I wouldn't at that time meet the clinical criteria. I wasn't experiencing derealization or depersonalization or anything of that magnitude. And yet, like much of the population, is to varying degrees dissociated. And people would tell me back there in my late teens and 20s that I wasn't really inhabiting my body, but in my mid-20s, that's when a lot of that trauma was resurfacing. And it was being reflected back to me in my attempts to form intimate relationships. And so I would form attachments to women who reflected back to me my own emotional wounding. As a lot of people are better able to disconnect from that. It varies. You have a lot of people who are very adversely affected by the emotional wounding, trauma, and much of the population not knowing how else to cope. Either they self-medicate with alcohol and other recreational drugs, they smoke, they eat garbage food, or self-medicate with food in general. But for me, I felt like there was no escape from the pain. When you take this kind of transmission of power from a native doctor, as I did, it has the effect of awakening this emotional wounding that might otherwise lay dormant. It's like pouring hydrogen peroxide into an infected wound. And so as I started working with people, all this extraordinary pain started making its way to the surface. And at first, I began to work with the psychotherapist, and psychotherapy is a critically important part of many of our healing journeys. We need that cognitive understanding that a gifted psychotherapist can provide, help us to understand our emotional wounding, our family of origin, and how the relational dynamics impacted us. Psychotherapy took me so far, but what I found is at the time was I was so consumed by this debilitating pain. And I had this instinctive sense that I needed to dive into the depth of all these extraordinarily painful emotions. And it would be excruciating at times, but fully immersed in the depth of those emotions, I would breathe softly and deeply. And as I did so, at a certain point, I could feel it breaking open and coming out of my body in waves. And underneath that, there were these powerful emanations of warmth emerging from within. And I could feel this sense of connectedness, like my own connection to my inner core being and to the higher power was getting stronger.
Could you tell us about the intensive meditation practices that you developed to help facilitate the awakening of the healing intelligence residing within the body and mind?
Initially, it started with my diving into the depth of the pain that I was experiencing. And that became the basis for a whole system of intensive meditation practices. The fact that we're not always going to be experiencing pain, which that's a very good thing. There's only so much of it. That's, at a certain point, we need to move through, in other words. But I'd say one of the biggest mistakes I made is the fact that I wasn't doing practice every day. And I had no one to teach me or guide me. I was having to figure this out completely on my own. And there was at the time that I was going through a lot of difficulty in relationships where they were blowing apart, it's not working. And I was in a lot of pain, okay. Then when it got so bad, I'd be doing practice. I'd be breathing into those emotions. And that helped me to get through a lot of the crazy drama, work through it, and helped me to let go of a lot of really unhealthy attachments. But then there are times when things weren't so bad and I didn't do any practice. Days, weeks, and months going by. And yet, I wasn't growing. I was stuck. I was stagnating there. But then around the time I turned 30, I start seeing a woman. And I care deeply about her. But when she gave me the ultimatum to move in, she wanted to start a family, and there was this profound internal resistance. I'm not resistant to commitment. It's, I think on some level, something was telling me that she wasn't the right person for me to make that long-term commitment with, to settle down with. But when she became engaged to someone else and fearing that she would lose the individual with whom she had become engaged, she completely cut off, and I felt a lot of deadness in my chest cavity where my heart and lungs reside. And so late at night, driving from Santa Fe back to Albuquerque, I began to breathe into that deadening in my chest cavity. As I kept doing that, there were little vapors of feeling, and then gradually transitioned into loneliness, longing, profound emptiness, a void. After a while, it was like my whole chest cavity was aching with decades of emotions that had been held in that part of my body. And as I move through that, there are these profound feelings of euphoria and connectedness to a higher power. And then after 3 months, it's like, I wonder what would happen if I went down into my abdomen. And I ended up going deep into my intestines and doing that. First, I couldn't feel much of anything. And then there was rumbling, churning, burning, pulsing, tingling. And it, before where I was so dissociated, I found that it was drawing me much deeper into my body. And it was opening up this whole deeper visceral intelligence that I'd never accessed before. Before, I could be very naive, take people at face value, feel very hurt and disappointed when people were not congruent, when they were incongruent. And as I continued working with this practice, I could hear what people said, but I would feel that incongruency. I would feel where they were coming from. It did a lot to deepen my intuition and help me to become more embodied. But those are only a few of many, many practices, many versions of these practices that I've developed, that I teach to everyone I work with, at least everyone who's conscious. Occasionally, people call me and have me work with family members who are not quite lucid. Maybe people who are at the end stages of their lives, and I help them to make that transition across to the other side.
And you've, so there's a healing intelligence within the body and mind.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And so how can people get in contact with you if they wanted to work with you?
There are a number of ways. You can go to my website, which is benufana.com, and there's a contact form on there where you can send me a message. I think there's a tab on the website. It just says contact. There's my Google Voice number, 332-333-5155. And you can leave a message for me. I will call you back. I have a link. I work with a lot of people who are in the midst of breakup or divorce or struggling with patterns of abandonment, unrequited love. And so they can just go to the link, refiningrelationships.com. And that's relationships plural. So refiningrelationships.com. There is a free ebook for those who are struggling with the devastation of breakup and other heartache, just getting over your breakup.com. And one thing I did want to add, it's very important, is I think it's so critically important, those of us, whatever challenges we face, we're talking about the practices, meditation practices, and that whatever challenge you're facing in your life, to the best of your ability, do the best you can to face it head on. With all the resources you possess, go straight into it and do whatever you can to address those issues. But as far as practice, acknowledge what's happening, the situation that's occurring, how it's affecting you, the issues concerning you, the individuals or person that you're interacting with. Bring that situation, person, circumstance, issue, bring it best you can into the forefront of your awareness. Notice how you feel in response to the person, issue, situation, circumstance. What are the emotions? Is it sadness, grief, anger, frustration? Anger. What are the emotions? Where are these emotions situated in your body? Fully immerse your awareness in the depth of these feelings, emotions, bodily sensations. Breathe softly and deeply in the depths of what you feel. Sometimes feelings will resolve within a few minutes. If you're experiencing a devastating loss, such as a breakup or the death of a loved one, these feelings can persist. Sometimes they may soften and dissolve after sitting for 30 minutes or an hour or more, maybe for multiple hours. But even though they soften and dissolve in that moment, if you go through some extremely stressful, devastating experience, a lot of these kinds of feelings will resurface, and that is normal. Acknowledge the feelings and take the mindset or the attitude of like, okay, whatever time it takes. And whenever these feelings are coming up, bring your awareness back into these feelings, bodily sensations, keep breathing with them, give them the time it takes. In doing that, that's going to engage your body and mind's innate healing intelligence. One other thing I want to add to that is it doesn't all have to be pain or upset or grief or discomfort. Even when you're experiencing pleasant feelings and sensations, excitement, anticipation, you're looking forward to seeing a friend, you're just enjoying being with your significant other, breathe into those pleasurable, wonderful feelings and sensations as well. These kinds of feelings and sensations, too, in their own way, help to create a greater sense of aliveness, and they nourish your body. So just wanted to add that because it's very important to helping us become more embodied, to become more and more fully present.
Hearing you say those things, it's like not running away. You say face things head on, and you being in the present moment is so important. Being present, experiencing, feeling in the present moment. And you also talked about the relationship you attracted in your life because of your traumas. I thought about Dr. Ernest Holmes' quote. He said, life is a mirror and will reflect back to the thinker what he thinks into it. So when you began to do the work that you've done over the years, and even within you personally, you said you began to reflect differently and attract different people into your life and relationships.
Yeah, and it was a combination of the fact that on one hand, I needed to do the practice to process, to digest these emotions, this trauma, emotional wounding trapped in my body. So that's one component. We need both practice. We need to be thoroughly digesting the emotions that are backed up in our body. And then we also need the intervention. We need both. So we're processing the emotion, but there's the intervention comes in. For me, I go on the vision quest for 4 days and nights to fast alone without food and water in the mountains. Vision quest is, some people can work up to it, but for most people, it's too intense. But the work I do individually, as I work as a conduit to allow this presence to work through me, it takes a lot of these traumas, these deeply wounding experiences, and they're being transformed, transmuted in a way so that people can thoroughly digest them. And it's building new foundation, new internal models. And so as we digest the emotional component, as we build the new models, the new foundation, we relate to, we engage with the world from a whole different place with completely different capacity. And because we've transformed ourselves from within, what we attract, the individuals and the kinds of experiences, it's not that everything's going to be magically wonderful all at once. We still face challenges, but we'll just have so many more resources. However, we will attract more individuals who are kinder and more caring and who are more nurturing to us. So we'll experience more nourishment, more depth, and more intimacy in our relationships.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
I think I've pretty much given it, but let me just reiterate real quick. It's so important to the best of your ability, whatever challenges you're facing. And sometimes we may feel like giving up, walking away. Now, there are times there are issues or conflicts that maybe it's not your issue to deal with. We can't solve all the world's problems. You know, no one of us is going to save the world. And so we need to use discernment. But day by day, tune in to your body, your feelings, your physical sensations. And as you do the deep internal work, you gain greater and greater clarity. And you intuitively know. Sometimes there's confusion, but you continue to do your practice every day. Then the clarity increases. Sometimes you have that knowing. It's like you've said what you can say, and you know when to let it go. But there are times where, despite the fact that it's difficult or challenging, you just go ahead and you face those challenges head on. And it's going to trigger you emotionally at times. Could evoke sadness, grief, frustration. That happens. Drop into the depth of those emotions. Sometimes we do complain. We need to complain a bit just so that we actually know what we're actually feeling. But get into those feelings. Breathe from the depth of them. Chew them up. Digest them. Process them. And as you work through those emotions, as that unpleasantness dissipates, then get after it. Do what needs to be done. Take the steps to affect the change that needs to be brought about in your life. Process those emotions and make use of the most effective therapeutic interventions. If you need to work with a psychotherapist, do so. Do deep tissue body work. Work with a gifted healer such as myself. And if you're really hardcore, maybe you'll even go on a vision quest someday.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. Today's episode has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum.